Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Folks, it is now or never, and we are running out of time, and I don't have time for pleasantries today. What I do have time for is to introduce you to the first candidate running for a federal office in Congress that is committed to removing President Biden and calling out Congress for violating their constitutional duty in choosing of the president and ensuring that the constitutional process is followed. Therefore, we're going to introduce you to Paul Venable, who is running for Missouri representative in the U.S. Senate. So we're going to get to that. We've only got 2 minutes before that we get into that interview. It's a long interview, and we'll have 2 minutes on the back end to cover the other little, you know, summations, little points that I want to make. But this is the time of year where this show is going to be dedicated to bringing to you these candidates and talking about these very specific issues that we cover. So you're going to notice that Paul Venable actually listens to this show and actually understands and agrees. And so one of the things we typically do on Fridays is Feedback Friday. Fortunately, I've actually had just compliments and or positive things. I don't have a lot of questions, and we still have some things that we need to get into, but we're running out of time to cover the pleasantries. And so what I have to beg you is please send some support to Art MacHumber. He needs some money to be able to get around that state and get people to start turning their heads and understanding the magnitude and ramifications of this coming election, and that the most important seat, I cannot emphasize, the most important seat out of all the statewide elections is his, because he's the only one that's actually standing up to actually defend the Constitution, committing to defend the Constitution. Conservative values don't get you anywhere. What we have to do is we have to get them to commit to actually fulfilling their obligation, their oath of office. So with that, we're going to go straight into this interview right after this music plays. We will have Paul Venable at the end of this instead of going into any promos. And then when we come back, it'll be the same thing. We'll just go straight into me talk, or actually we'll have a little music intro. But anyway, we'll be right back with Paul Venable. Okay, folks, we now have Paul Venable on the line, and Paul Venable is running for senator, U.S. Senate, in Missouri, and I will let him tell you about himself. So, Paul, Mr. Venable, Senator Venable, let's jinx you right now. Senator Venable, what makes you tick politically? What are you all about?
Well, G.R., thanks for having me. What makes me tick politically? You know, frankly, the Constitution makes me tick politically. In fact, I think that the Constitution maybe isn't necessarily a political document. I heard somewhere, I think it's in Aristotle's Rhetoric, that politics is the art of compromise. But I believe that the Constitution is the solution, is the root solution to our root problems. And our root problem is that we're not following the Constitution. And so that means that if we require full compliance of the Constitution, we don't have to compromise. We just have to go back to the contract. And I can explain more about that later. But what makes me tick politically is following the Constitution.
Okay, so I guess my next question would be the differentiation between yourself and the other candidates. Don't want to be presumptuous to know, but I think the field is pretty well set up. Do you know your opponents, and what's the difference between you and them?
Well, kind of yes and kind of no. There are 20 people running in the Republican primary and about 10 running in the Democratic primary. So I really don't know who my primary opponents are at the moment. And that will be, you know, ironed out in August. So, but what I do know is this. And let me tell you what the basic difference between me and them, all of them, I can read. Now, that may sound weird. may sound exceptional. They may take issue with that, and they probably ought to. But here's the point. I can read the Constitution, and I can understand what it means. Our elected appointed officers of trust in the Republic either aren't reading the Constitution, they can't read it, or they're wantonly ignoring it. So let me go even further. On Tuesday, January 3rd, 2023, when I take the oath of office to support and defend the Constitution, I will honor my oath, or I will step down and expect my fellow citizens to hold me accountable.
There you go. And that's, to me, that's the government the people deserve. That's the type of representation that the people deserve. Because bottom line, we're putting you in that position and we're binding you to an oath of office to support the Constitution. If you can't do it, if you can't be adult enough to do your doggone job that we've sent you to do, then as far as we're concerned, what we want to do is we want to make sure that we can get that position filled quickly if you can't. So stepping down is one, the honorable, the right thing to do. But it sounds to me like that's not really an issue for us.
Well, it's not an issue for us, but it's an issue for the people because our current representatives, you know, elected and appointed.
Well, to put that in context, excuse me, to put that in context, it's not an issue for us regarding you because, I mean, when a candidate comes right out and says, this is what I'm going to do, then it makes it a lot easier to hold their feet to the fire. The reason why politicians, you know, are mealy-mouthed and lukewarm and just dancing all over the place and never, they're always ambiguous. They hide behind ambiguity because they don't want to be held down. They don't want to be held accountable. They want to have the flexibility to be able to, you know, get the notches in their, you know, if you want to call it their career belt with lobbyists and with those who are the power brokers of political power. Because it's clear in America, the politicians have turned their backs on the people for those who have the money purse, which is why our elections are all screwed up. The why campaigns and campaign financing, why all of these things are problems. And these things, I hope, as we move forward and get to know you more, we'll be able to, you know, get your ideas and expose your thoughts on these types of things. But let me just kind of get this general information to my audience here. So okay, it's awesome. You're literate on the Constitution. You read it and you understand it, which is head and shoulders above almost all the candidates in every race across the nation. What do you believe are the three challenges that America is facing today? And how would you address them? Give me three. I guess these are current events. So let's look at this as what are the three current events that you think we need to head off or you need to attack?
You know, there are so many. There are, you know, as I said earlier, I think that we've got a root cause and a root solution. And I'll get to those in a minute. If there were three current events, and there are many, I would say, one is the invasion of America's border, and the solution to that is an article for the Constitution where, you know, we guarantee to each state a Republican form of government and that we call forth the militia to repel invasions or incursions, okay? The second would be inflation of the money supply. The solution is in Article 1, Section 8, in which we empower Congress to set the value of weights and measures and coin. And then finally, this one. This is a big one. Insurrection to the Constitution. I'm not talking about January 6th here. I'm talking about the part where the people who went to Washington, D.C. to express their concerns have had their rights stomped on by those who are really insurrecting the Constitution, you know, causing insurrection of the Constitution in the halls of Washington, D.C. So, and the constitutional solution to that, you can find in Article 14, Section 3. And that is, people violate their oath to the Constitution, then they need to be removed from office and ineligible for life. So those are the three. Now, you know, there are two primary things that I think are a problem, but these three are just three of the many that are facing us today. And I want to say to you, GR, that I think these are symptoms of not following the Constitution.
I completely concur. So let's do a little disclosure, because I don't think everybody understands, because we haven't hit there yet. What party are you running for?
Oh, okay. I'm chairman of the Constitution Party in Missouri, and so I am the Constitution Party candidate for Senate in the state.
Okay. For Senate, for the state, in the U.S. Senate. So I get it.
United States Senate.
All right. So the big question is, why then did you choose the Constitution Party, and why? Because I rail on this stuff all the time. So I have a pretty smart audience. So Why is it that you have not gone down the path of the Republican and kind of courted the party to get behind you?
You know, I had to start out by saying that I wasn't just a Republican. I was a pretty loyal Republican. Let me tell you how deep this goes. My father was a Republican, and my grandmother was a Republican, and she was because Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. That was the mindset. So I grew up with that mindset, and I'll tell you when it changed. I remember it was January 20th, 2004. And that was the day that George W. Bush was giving his State of the Union address. I happened to be working an assignment in Washington, D.C. I could see the Capitol Dome from my hotel room, and I was going to watch my hero. And I'll tell you what, I watched that State of the Union address, and I realized it's like the scales fell from my eyes. I was watching him say one unconstitutional thing after another, and suddenly it's like he grabbed me by the hell. Grabbed me by the lapels and said, get out of the Republican Party and get out now. That was my experience. That was the day that I was looking for an alternative, because I realized that this person and the party had left me. They had left their platform behind. They had left their people behind, and they left me behind. And I left them behind.
Okay. So the one thing that I see, and it comes up in conversations all the time, it seems like everybody's paradigm is red and blue, red being Republican, blue being Democrat. And so I think the challenge for you, because the majority of the paradigm, the majority of the electorate's paradigm in Missouri is red. In other words, they want to vote, and they are party-driven, they're party loyalists. 80% of the people that vote, 80% of the people that vote are blind voters. They just vote down the party line, and that's it. And so here's a huge challenge for you as a Constitution Party, as the alternative. How do you get people, and I honestly believe you just have to backhand them. I think you just have to slap them in the face and just say, you know, wake up. It isn't about red and blue. It's about parchment. And I think that if you use that phraseology, if you put it in that context, people will start getting it. But what is your strategy of how you're going to do that? How are you going to garner and get the Republicans to move towards the Constitution?
You know, that's a great question. And my strategy is, first of all, for us to understand that the Constitution has teeth. So as a candidate for office, I've taught the Constitution for years. I should disclose that I was chairman of the Constitution Party in Idaho. And while I was there, we taught the Constitution for years. But what happened is when people left the class, you know, many of them stood up for liberty, but once they walked away, what was it they were to do next? My strategy is to teach the people, one, my fellow citizens, that the Constitution, first of all, has teeth, and that we know how to use them. One of the teeth that we can start using right away is the First Amendment right of petition, which has been in front of our face the whole time. You know, I've got to ask, you know, Republicans, do you really think that you're freer today than you were on September 10th, 2001. Well, no, we're not. Okay. And so what we're going to do is, from the local level up, we're going to begin using First Amendment petitions to redress the grievances of people in whatever they may be, whether it's school board, whether it's mask mandates, and a lot of those have gone away. But let me give you an example of something that just happened with me. I was, a few weeks ago, I had gone to visit my neighbors. All right, here was the deal. Okay, we have raised our own animals, and I live in a small rural community in western Missouri. And so what I wanted to do is I read the city code and it realized that they didn't allow for, you know, small farm animals like chickens or goats. So I went around to my neighbors and I said, do you care if I raise chickens? Because what I'd like to do is I'd like to get a variance. Well, what a variance is, it's an exception to the rule. Here's what happened. When I talked to my neighbors, I realized that all of them wanted to raise chickens. Almost none of them objected, and many of them wanted to do it themselves. So now I've got a paradigm. Why was I just doing this for me? If my neighbors want to do this, and by the way, they told me that if I had to sign something, they'd sign it for me. Well, lo and behold, I've already got my petition process. So now I generate a petition, and instead of asking for a variance, I'm going to ask the city to reconsider the code for a number of reasons. One, it gives the people the opportunity to take care of themselves, and the city shouldn't deny them that right. Secondly, there are things we should be concerned about today. I mean, I heard a news report just yesterday that 17 food processing plants in this country have gone up in smoke in the first 4 months of this year. Okay, it was 11 the whole year last year. So there are things we should be concerned about. And so one of the things to bring this to a close, what I want to do is use the tools that the Constitution has, because there are things that we can do with that right away. The First Amendment right of petition is the basic.
There you go, folks, because this man is singing a song that is just cherished in my heart. That's okay, so using the First Amendment petitions and getting this back into the context of getting Republicans, I honestly believe that this is the way you can actually teach Republicans the principles of the Constitution. And actually, and folks, this goes right back to what I've been harping at, that we need people to actually lead and prove that the party system, or I should say the uniparty or the Republican Party specifically, is the problem, because they're not a part of the solution. They want to keep you steeped in the status quo. And when you actually start taking action, like what you're talking about, then you're actually proving that we can make a difference, that the party can actually lead and help and be a part of the solution, not just some process that continues this abuse and the neglect of our public servants regarding our liberties, our rights, and so forth. So, awesome. This is just great. So let me ask you this.
Sure, if you don't mind, let me add something to that.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
My neighbors, okay, they're not, some of them may be Democrats and some of them may be Republicans, but they'll be my constituents. I want to include the Republican Party. I want to include the Democrats. I'm willing to go to the meetings and show them how this works.
Well, so actually, let me get you to change your paradigm.
Okay.
If they're Democrats, if they're Republicans, let them put themselves into that position by themselves. Because all you have to do is say, you know, if you don't realize the difference between whatever political affiliation you have and me, I'm parchment. I believe in your rights. I believe in protecting and restoring your rights and privileges and immunities that are guaranteed by that Constitution. And I can't believe our government has gotten to a point where they've denied us basic privileges and immunities, such as, you know, these chickens, goats, and so forth, being able to be self-sustaining and being able to provide for ourselves. I mean, how is that constitutional? Anyway, and I honestly believe that just making that mantra, making that message as a as almost like a drum that people just hear it, parchment, parchment, parchment. They'll start getting it. They'll start understanding that the red-blue is literally just a diametric division between a paradigm of government has to do this, when actually the parchment is get rid of government doing the things that they have no business doing. Anyway, on top of that, do you have any legislation that you are trying to champion or that you're trying to get wind in your sails? In other words, as you campaign, because it's common that a politician will say, I'm going to do this. Is there legislation or some type of a campaign promise that you are, using as a campaign strategy?
I'll give you three. To start with, the first one is I would call for my state and others to enact Republic Review. And obviously, you're the champion of this. But, like Wyoming attempted to do earlier this year, This is a process that was set forth when Jefferson and Madison wrote the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions to engage their sister states in pushing back against the Alien and Sedition Acts. So the idea was that the states as
the parties.
As the parties.
No problem.
The stakeholders in this contract, or the compact, that's the Constitution, are to rein in. They've got the power, okay? They're the final arbiters of this contract, were to rein in the federal government. And so, Wyoming tried to do this earlier this year. I think they were shot down. I'm going to encourage Missouri to do this and other states because really I see the states as a solution. Imagine, if we're making a change in the Constitution, if we're proposing an amendment, it's the states that make that decision. It's not done by a popular vote, okay?
Right.
So the states are parties to the contract first. The other thing I would want to do is I'd want to call for the ratification of the original First Amendment. This is the one that had to deal with representation in Congress. You've got 435 members in this cloister in Washington, D.C. And, if we ratify that amendment, what it means is that we're going to bring our representatives home to the states. You might have 6,000 representatives, but we've got the technology. We've got the ability to do that now. And so that's probably one of the things that I would promote. The other thing I would promote is to, and I don't know quite how to do this yet, but we just saw this week, Elon Musk has been on the news. He bought Twitter, and now everyone's, celebrating. We're now going to have a free speech platform. I want to disabuse the public mind of this mindset that the platform is the press. So there are a couple ways we can deal with this. But
hold it,
one
hold
of the things that I would like to do.
If I could interject real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because this really begs the question. The question that's not even being asked, because actually I just mentioned this on my Thursday show. And so here's the question. Elon Musk now owns Twitter, which means he owns the baggage that Twitter has created.
Right.
So here's the question. And this is actually a paradigm shift that I don't think anybody has really made the connections to, but I kind of glossed over this yesterday. So the question I have is, with Elon Musk now as the CEO and the all-powerful Oz of Twitter, will he bring in independent auditors to come and scour through the corporate documents and actually find how the CEO and other executives in leadership within Twitter actually violated election laws by basically influencing and creating narratives and so forth so that he can bring those people to justice?
Well, if you want, GR, maybe I'll put that challenge on my website, because otherwise it could conceivably get swept under the rug. I think that in concert with that, the states, in protecting the people's rights, ought to define what the press is versus
yes.
the platform.
Correct.
Okay. So let's say Facebook is a platform. Twitter is a platform. YouTube is a platform. Let me think. Facebook and Google.
Right.
So here's what I'm – and I have full disclosure. I got this idea from you. And that is that you know, we have Google and Facebook make billions per minute. And you know how? Because if I'm sitting at my machine and I click on an ad, how many of those ads are everyone clicking on everywhere? And so here is an opportunity, let me dare say, and I don't know the long-term effects of this yet, but it's free money for them. Here's an opportunity, maybe a gold mine, for the state to have, to one, tax a platform. That's why I say, let's define the difference between a press and a platform.
Right.
And then let's make the platform pay, and in return, maybe we can offer some tax relief to citizens, because these people are really making it. And on top of that, who are they to decide what we should hear or not? I think if they're not the press, then let's treat them like we would anyone else in terms of taxing.
Right.
I don't know the mechanics of it, but that's one of the things that I would propose.
Right. And actually, so yeah, you've heard me harp on that, because if you're bringing this up, absolutely. So, and there are ways to do that. And as a matter of fact, if you listen to my show regularly, I'm actually going through those, and we'll be hitting those points of how to redefine the press at the state level, so that we can restore freedom of the press back to the people and actually hold the platforms accountable, so that they don't become the censors and actually become propaganda mills, because that's been the perversion of what we call the press today in America. So that's awesome. Sure. I'm loving this. But the other thing I've got to ask, because, and the reason I went down this path on just saying, here's Elon Musk that can actually bring out the dead. If you're a fan of Monty Python and the In Search of the Holy Grail, then you understand what I'm talking about. But here is somebody that's actually taken over a business that has blood in its halls. We're talking about a business that has violated the trust of the people, and they've been a progressive agenda grinding monkey for the globalist agenda. Now we've got somebody in there that I don't believe is truly a conservative. I don't even believe he's a libertarian. I believe he's a businessman that is doing everything that he can to make him look good. So the question is, because you never know, he could be the global leader that takes us, because he has a vision of globalism, and I don't necessarily like Elon Musk. I'm just being honest here. I honestly think that in him doing and going down this path, it would prove to me, it may not be full evidence, but it would at least prove to me he's heading in the direction of taking an honest and open position. If he does not air the blood, or you know, air the dirty laundry of Twitter as he steps in to basically say, this is what I've inherited and we're cleaning up shop now, because that's what a real leader would do, because there's no doubt in my mind Twitter has blood on their hands regarding elections and so forth. Anyway,
well, on top of that, I think it's probably necessary. I saw a news report that 99% of Twitter is unhappy with this deal. So he's got these people working on him that are not on his side. He needs to air that dirty laundry or whatever it may be.
Right.
Know what direction they need to go with it.
Right. Well, I am speaking in a completely different context than the conservative entertainers and all these, I'll just say all these people that don't understand the root of our problem. But let's not talk about what I want, because this is your time. I don't want to steal any bit of your time at this point, because we need to get people to understand you so that they can get behind you. And so One of the things that I've also exposed my audience to is this concept of the swamp and this movie that exposes how basically our legislators in both the House of Representatives and the Senate in Congress, how they are basically being bought and paid for by how they get on committees and how they vote and so forth. So going into D.C. and understanding that to be a player, you have to sell your soul. How are you going to handle that? How are you going to keep immunity from being corrupted by this D.C. influence?
You know, I watched that video, and that was mind-bending.
Yes.
It was shocking to me that it's almost like those congressmen who are trying to fight against that system are swimming upstream. And that's a hard swim. And so the other thing I need to tell you is I've been involved with political leaders in the past, good men that I believe have gone to Washington, D.C., and frankly, GR, come back as something else. So the environment in D.C. might be new to me, but I've got one foundational outlook. And that's my primary constituent is the Constitution. And those who deal with me will be expected to act in concert with that commission. Now, I say that, but you know, the other thing that's important is that's why I started out by telling you I'm going to keep my oath. Because in the back of my mind, that always has to be there. I don't know what kind of temptations they have, but I'll tell you what. You know, Jared, I've got sufficient for my needs. I don't need that. What I need is for my children and my grandchildren and my neighbors to live in liberty, and my liberty is not for sale. You know, it's really someone has got to say that. The other thing that I'm going to do with my website as the candidates get whittled down after the election, uh-huh, is I'm going to post expenses. In other words, I'm going to post where all the money is coming from. I'm going to post where my money is coming from. I'm going to post where the Democrats' money is coming from. I'm going to post on my website where the Republicans' money is coming from so that we can see, because I think what happens is that people see, you know, they vote for the pretty faces and they vote for the rhetoric. But they don't really understand that they're being played for money, that their liberty is for sale. And if you show in public what everyone's getting and from whom, maybe they'll see that. You know, the other thing I think that needs to happen, and this is going back to a question you asked me earlier, is one of the things that I would propose as legislation, uh-huh, is real campaign finance reform. That is, you can only donate money within your elective district. That's one of the things that I would propose.
There we go. And so I'm actually going through that currently, and I'm explaining to my listening audience what it means to restore. Because going back to what you said, this is a Republican form of government. And so it is repugnant to think that anybody who does – we all, as United States citizens, we all have a right of representation, which means that we have access in government to our representative. But it is repugnant to think that somebody that doesn't have the right of representation for the state of Missouri, that they come and they contribute to these campaigns, that these walls are open and allowing Soros and foreigners. I mean, Obama took millions of dollars in from literally foreigners around the world. $5 donations or what have you, these small little contributions. Are you kidding me? And I mean, that's just one little example. It happens all the time. We've got to shut this down. But the only way, folks, that we can get candidates right now is we actually have to hear them talk the talk and actually, you know, stand up and say, this is how we have to do this. Because bottom line, we need to get your support and we need to get your money into candidates like Paul Venable running for Senate. And as you've heard me harping already, Art Macomber for the Attorney General in Idaho. So now we've got two candidates that you can start throwing love to. But anyway, and because I understand that there's a lot of people that, you know, don't like the idea. But bottom line, folks, we have to exploit the system that Soros and everybody else is exploiting. We have to understand that if the message is going to survive, we actually have to get behind the messenger, because they are constantly silencing a contrary message to their status quo by throwing more money and getting their messengers in, which silences the real message. And if any of that makes sense, then I guess the challenge and the follow-up question that I have after this long oration of my feelings is, as a Constitution Party member, are you going to limit yourself? Are you constrained so that good constitution-loving businesses can contribute to you without any strings attached, that they just say, we need to get this guy in?
You know, I know in previous conversations, we asked this question. And when I registered for the National Committee meeting, and I looked at the disclosure, here's what it said. It said, federal law requires that we don't accept corporate donations, but it doesn't say anything else, which means, and when I say, I need to be more specific, but when I read it, it didn't appear to violate what you asked. In other words, I want businesses and people and whoever want to support my message to be able to contribute to me. I'm still researching that, but I believe that we don't have the restrictions that I thought we did.
Good, good. Well, and folks, we don't have the time either. If we want, and what I say by time being finite, because the Lord's coming, and either we actually start supporting the message and getting this message into D.C., because I'm going to tell you something. If we get Paul Venable into that Senate, he's going to make Rand Paul and Cruz look like, you know, liberal communists, because these guys don't talk about the Constitution. They sideswipe it and they use it almost like it's a prop for them. And it just pisses me off to see these, because they're probably decent people. They don't seem to be really evil, but they're not doing what they should be doing in supporting the Constitution, which can take us back to January 6th. And what really my final question before I, you know, give you the final plug of how do people get a hold of you and all that stuff and how they can give you money. My final question is, as you know, January 6th, 2021, was a fiasco where Congress actually violated the Constitution and unconstitutionally seated a president by accepting an unconstitutionally formed electoral college. Are you going to actually take a stand and actually campaign on this very particular issue, that if you get elected, you will be the champion for unseating Biden in 2023 as the first order of business without legislation or anything else? He needs to be removed, and Congress needs to follow the Constitution in choosing the president by using the 12th Amendment, which is what should have happened.
Well, I agree with that. And in fact, I will champion that. But I'll tell you what, I'll have to, because no one is going to look at what Biden is doing right now and draft articles of impeachment, which I believe they've got several reasons to do so right now. But you understand where everyone is complaining about Biden and no one's doing anything, not Republicans, not Democrats, no one. So
here's my problem with that, just real quick, and forgive me for cutting you off, sir. If you go down the path of impeachment, you're almost legitimizing this fool that has been seated unconstitutionally. And as far as I'm concerned, he needs to be treated as the constitutional crisis that Congress has created by putting him in office. And therefore, we can't even look in that form of legitimacy. We need to actually tell America needs to be told that Congress pulled a fast one, that Pelosi and Pence pulled a fast one. And there's a follow-on question that you haven't even thought of that I need to put in your lap before we in this conversation. But
okay.
The important part is that this has to be done at the very beginning of 2023. And there's no doubt in my mind that if you make this and if you get out into the news and you get into the newspapers and say, this is what you're doing, this you are going to call for the removal of the Biden administration and demand that Congress fix this constitutional crisis by exercising the 12th Amendment in choosing of the president, something that should have been done in 2020 or 2021, January 6, 2021. Now, if you do this, so here's the question. There is no doubt in my mind that Trump will find a way to your door.
That would be interesting.
Now, the question is, because I understand principles, morals, and all these other things, you know, kind of create this amalgamation or this big pot of interesting political stew. Mm-hmm. The question is, on the one principle that if you look at the stage, the outcome is either going to be from the 12th Amendment that either Biden wins or because of the Electoral College, or I should say not even by the Electoral College. If you look at Congress, there was only, you know, the two real candidates because none of them actually garnered anything for Electoral College votes or representative votes. And the 12th Amendment basically states that the representatives of the people will delegate or will vote by delegate, by state delegate. So in other words, each state will get one vote and it's going to go down party lines. And so what it means is that Biden probably will be removed in 2023 and it will be Trump that will be chosen to actually serve out the rest of that 4-year term, which will be less than 2 years. That means that Trump will then be set up for a potential re-election if he actually steps in and puts America back on the right path. Now, here's the question. What are you going to do if all of a sudden Trump comes in and actually comes to Missouri and makes Missouri his operating base and starts launching on all of this and actually gets you elected? Because this could be a reality because he can bring in that kind of money. And I don't think this is really a question. I just think this is more of kind of an advisement to you. You may need to clearly delineate to say, you know, I want to do the right thing. We need to do the right thing by the Constitution and by the people of America. And so if Trump comes to my door, I will, you know, I'd be happy to take any and all his assistance, money and financing without any contingencies, without any strings. I refuse to sell my position to a loyalty, to a person, to an office. My loyalty is to the Constitution. And I will constantly support the Constitution. And that's what you can count on me if you support me. And there it is.
Well, let me make this clear. That would be my position. You understand something else. I believe that Trump had the right idea of putting America first. But there are two things about Trump that he doesn't have a constitutional understanding. He actually believed that he could sign a piece of paper and ban bump stocks in California. He actually said that he actually proposed this thing called the Operation Warp Speed, and then said, and I've got the greatest military in the world to distribute this. Now, that should set alarm bells for me. So, you know, Trump might come to my door, but you got to remember, Trump is operating out of ignorance of the Constitution. So he'll need an education if he expects to come back. But let me ask you a follow-up question to that, GR.
Sure, no problem.
And this was a surprise to me. I was listening to the Constitution on the way here, and in the area of impeachment, it said that if a president is impeached, he is ineligible to hold office of any kind. It's almost the president's version of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. So here's my question: if he's impeached and removed, or if he's impeached? This surprised me. And so I'm going to have to research this a little more. Maybe I can ask if you will.
So
because he was impeached, is he actually ineligible?
So there are two processes to impeachment, for impeachment
right?
to occur. there is the it's like a grand jury investigation, which is closed, where there is no arguments. It's just a discovery where the House has the determination of whether a president, a sitting president or a non-sitting president, can be impeached. So they determined that he is to be impeached. The trial for impeachment is done by the Senate. So just because the indictment moves forward, it doesn't mean that he's been found guilty. It doesn't mean that he has actually been charged and tried and has now been fully impeached. The impeached, he still is a sitting president. And
he was still a sitting president after the impeachment.
So you got to understand that the impeachment charge is just a charge that comes from Congress, and that the due process occurs in the Senate. So the trial that's where the due process. So if you remember, everybody was calling, "Oh, where's the due process? Where's the due?" There is no due process in the House process. Okay. In other words, that's not a trial. They're just looking for whatever they want to look for, and they can be as biased as they want to be. But it doesn't mean that it's going to get them across the finish line. It's the same thing with Clinton. Clinton was impeached by the House, but he wasn't found guilty by the Senate. And that had more to do with, I think, the politics in hand. And the reason the politics in hand prevailed is because they didn't want to put more wind in Clinton's sail by basically dividing the nation to say the Republicans got rid of a Democratic president, because everybody was looking at it as a Democrat versus, and it's the same thing with what happened with Trump, that it was literally the Democrats going after the Republican.
That division is really at the heart of what's going on. It's one of the things that Washington warned us about in his farewell address.
Sure did.
It's fact.
Yes, he did. And so the interesting thing that I think most people just lose sight of is that, where is the due process occurring? And the due process is occurring in the Senate. And that's really the trial process. So anyhow.
Okay. Anyway. Thanks for clearing that up.
No problem. No problem. Yeah, because the impeachment process is twofold, and it's obviously political, but it shouldn't be. It really shouldn't be. But you're right. If you look at Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, the president and the vice president are not included in that. It starts with the senators and representatives, then it goes to federal judges and the Supreme Court, and then down to every other office. So they actually exclude the president and vice president. So anyway, now let's just kind of wrap this up, because I've got a lot of other things to do, and I really appreciate your time. So I must believe that you've got other things to do yourself. Where can the voters of Missouri, and where can those interested in actually supporting the message you're carrying, where can they go to, donate, to learn more about you? What is your, do you have a domain name?
I have a domain name. Okay. It's through it. Youwinmissouri.org.
There you go.
The idea is, when are the people going to win an election? Okay. So in Missouri, You Win Missouri means it's time for the people to win. Youwinmissouri.org.
There you go. That's good. It's not somebody for Idaho, somebody for this state or what have you. It's good. That's good, because it places context to who you're actually serving.
Right.
Awesome. Well, Mr. Venable, Paul, what I would like to do is I'd like to have an open door when you're ready to talk more about the campaign, when you're ready to get more into details, because this is just an introduction for the people. What I'd like to do is actually bring you back. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. And the beautiful thing, folks, is that Paul here, the candidate Venable, hopefully Senator Venable, He's in this race all the way to the end, because he's a Constitution Party candidate. So regardless of the shenanigans that the primaries can run amok with so many people and so forth, because I've seen this happen every time, that they water down the field to where the lesser of the evils kind of rises to the top instead of the really good leader. And so you have an opportunity to actually send this message, and we need to help Mr. Venable get this message out so that people understand you know, this 2020 election is not over, even though
2022.
Well, it's the 2020 election with what you can do in 2023. In other words, this Biden and removing the Biden administration. I mean, I think that could bring enough wind in your sails nationwide where people go, you know, hey, and as a matter of fact, if you really start articulating this on your website of how and why this needs to be done and why you need to go and be that messenger, I honestly think you'll get lots of people throwing love your way. Because there's nobody else doing this. Everybody else is trying to avoid this. And that, to me, is an indictment that these people don't care about the Constitution. They're just trying to, you know, make the appeasements to the, you know, the power brokers and the gods of politics so that they can get their little, you know, their little seat at the altar of power. Anyway, thank you so much for your time. And we look forward to having you back as this long marathon race to November starts to pursue forward.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Folks, we're going to be going straight into break right after this, and then I will be back with some final comments. God bless. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, folks, so I'm not sure if you've garnered the magnitude of what just happened or the position that Mr. Venable is taking regarding the 2023 election. In other words, if you really want to get rid of the Biden administration, he's the only candidate right now leading the charge. He needs some help to get this message out. Folks, if you help get his message out, it will actually land at the feet, the doorstep of Donald Trump. If Donald Trump gets this and actually understands how we're in the midst of a constitutional crisis because we do not have a constitutionally seated president. This is why Congress is being sued. I believe if Donald Trump understands the simplicity of all of this, he will not only back Paul, he will not only back the Constitution Party candidate for Missouri. This will be the first Constitution Party candidate ever elected to a federal position. Do you understand this? This actually sends an indictment to the Republicans, as I was just saying. This is huge. This is why I don't know what you can spare, but I'm just begging and asking that you provide anything and everything you can. Remember, you wanted to help me and you want to help me. There's ways you can. I need your efforts. I need your time. I don't need your money. And what I want to do is I actually want, as we monetize the show, we want to give you money to help you succeed. This is not about us. This is about our posterity and their liberty. Just as the framers put it at the beginning of the preamble of the Constitution, we owe it to our future to do everything we can to preserve this Constitution. So, help Paul Venable. Get him, and as a matter of fact, I just went to see if that webpage is up yet. It's not up yet. So, as soon as it is, I will let you know in the upcoming episodes. With that, my friends, as you understand, We have an opportunity to make history and actually do something that has never been done. And so let's be a part of the good side of history and take this country back. I'm Jerry Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort.
We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.